there is a part of you that is immensely, immensely powerful and loving, and you do not know how to actually marry the two, the power in love, because at one point in your lifetime as a soul, you were punished for it. So you do not know how to be with power in love, not know how to embody the power of your love, because you had been punished, persecuted, shamed, rejected, and most also blamed for having even accessed a little bit of it, right? So you were basically made into the darkness by using your light. That's what I feel the witch wound is really about. It's my light is the reason I and other people may have suffered.
I'm just really grateful that I came across you as a person and what you provide in terms of your specialties and how you're able to be there for people in the work that you do. And specifically, what I invited you on here today for, which we'll be talking about more in depth, but in regards to the topic of witch wounds and what those are, what they're connected to, how they impact us in the present. But I heard you speaking on another person's podcast about witch wounds, and that was something that I have just been feeling really drawn towards lately. And it's something that, and I'll be sharing, you know, my experience as we go deeper in this conversation, but it's something that I've personally come in contact with within myself. So yeah, I'm just really grateful that when I reached out to you, having heard you, like I said, on another person's podcast talking about this, you were willing to come on and join me in this conversation. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you saying that. And oh, it's just so beautiful. I have to share this. The day that you emailed me, actually, I had a session with a client earlier that morning. Actually, I had a session with the same client today. Right. And she specifically is also, she's a light worker. She's a healer. And we actually that day were speaking about that, you know, awareness of something that's just inside of you that, you know, past life, you know, just an experience that is not from this life, but it is very much alive. We're speaking about witch wounds, you know, the whole week, you know, she was sharing with me. And it's just interesting because that same day, we also spoke about internal family systems and, you know, cause we've been doing some parts work and, you know, and she was referring to that as a concept she really wants to go deeper into and asking if, you know, maybe I thought she would also benefit from seeing a therapist. And so in that vein, you know, and so we explored all of these modalities, right? All of these ways to reclaiming all parts of us.
Yeah.
Right. And that get off the phone with her or the call rather. And I see her email, you know, speaking to me about all of those things. And I see that you've, and I'm just like, this is the divine is so beautiful. Like this. Of course I want to talk to you. And I'm like, and how cool is this?
So I know. I love how that works, right? You're like, what?
That's my idea. I was like, what? How is this happening right now? It's like, yeah, of course.
It's amazing. I love that. Yeah, that's I love that kind of stuff because I just feel like those are examples of we're like, oh yeah, okay, yep, this is what's supposed to happen, and I'm getting connected to this for a reason.
I feel like what you just said is going to be the theme of this conversation for me anyway. I'm, you know, I'm experiencing this for a reason.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to mention this too, because I was looking at your website and you have so much experience with so many amazing things, so many that there was no way I was going to list them all off. People can go to your website and look at that extensive list. But some of the ones that I wanted to mention in particular, because I'm really curious to hear a little bit about your journey to where you are now, and especially with these things I'm about to mention, such as life coaching, professional archetypal analyst, IFS informed practitioner, chakra healing practitioner, professional Akashic records guide, which I think is very interesting, and spiritual past life regression practitioner. And like I said, there's so many more, but those are the ones that really stood out to me. I think things that I am really curious about. And so, yeah, I'm just really interested in knowing a little bit more about your journey Are these things something that you've always felt called towards, or was there something that you were, I guess, maybe doing before all of this in your life? And then all of a sudden you made a big shift.
So both, and I feel like, you know, Nathalie, hearing you list some, well, these specific, you know, modalities off, I was just like smiling to myself, like, man, this is just, it sounds so impressive. It's like, wow. And also, no, but, and then the sense that, you know, I was like, oh, I did that, right? Oh, I learned those things. And why did I learn them, right? And how did I come to them? So I believe that really, in my heart, that's what the question is. Like, how did I choose to give myself to learning all of these ways to just supporting myself and other people in what I believe is reclaiming the truth, really? Mm-hmm. That's what it is, the truth of who we are. And I feel like there's never going to be an end, right? And the many modalities that are either ancient and or very fresh, but also obviously if they're real, they're absolutely coming from a very ancient, deep wisdom, mm-hmm. probably exists in some culture, some way, somewhere. So, you know, when you shared some of the ones that I've learned, you know, past life regression, Akashic records, you know, it's chakra healing, all of this, really. I feel like now that I'm becoming more and more free, I feel like, in just not necessarily giving myself a title, just because there are so many modalities,
sure.
I can use, but also because I realize that, to your question, I've always done this work, but it took a long time to really understand that I need to, in a way, reclaim my right to do this mm-hmm. work this lifetime, and really understanding also that it really is about learning a lot of things that you can then, it's almost as if you learn to trust that you can forget them.
Yeah.
So, you know, Akashic records, and it's interesting, you chose those specific ones. The way that I came to do this work, you know, very, very 3D oriented right now, was that I'd always lived, I feel like, in an alternate world a little bit. Like, I, you know, I really did, from a very young age, felt awareness of what I can only now expose, in a way, as my understanding of God, of the divine. Like, I had a very clear connection to something that I knew was me, but I also knew wasn't me.
Right.
So, and I grew up in an environment, again, not randomly, we'll speak to this, right? That I, in this life, had this environment where I was not in any way indoctrinated or, you know, kind of made to believe certain things, or felt oppressed by religious, spiritual, cultural doctrines, like, at all. I grew up in a very multicultural home, and I was exposed to many different religions, you know, Russian Orthodoxy. So I'm, you know, I was christened, also Judaism. I lived in Israel for a while. You know, I have Jewish Russian lineage. My father was Colombian, so Catholic and Native. And so a lot of different things were kind of in my world, and I never felt that they were imposed on me, right? So I always had this feel into what felt good, what felt true. In that, though, there is this almost lack of structure, right? So there is this, all of this in spiritual yogic traditions that were also part of my life. My stepfather, you know, actually, I feel like, was my first spiritual teacher without knowing it. I'm reclaiming our past life connection. I feel like there's a lot there that I'm realizing now. And so I feel like the way that I came to this work is, it chose me, and it had a very specific way of initiating me into these modalities without making me feel that now I had to be in a certain box in a certain way to, you know, to really earn, right, the title or the work that I was here to do. I simply came into the buffet, and I felt into what was in my highest good, but most importantly, what felt like it would only further reassure me in what I knew when I was, like I said, very young.
Right.
So that are connected to all past and present and future. Mm-hmm. Everything is at all times. Everything is available to you at all times. You are energy, and so is everything else.
Right.
Everything is transforming, and that's the only thing you can depend on. Mm-hmm. And you are everything. And it was never coming from a place of ego. But I remember as a young child even saying, I feel like I am an alien and I'm in this world where everyone's playing a specific role so that I experience what I need to experience.
Wow.
Right. And so I said this when I was, you know, like 12. And I remember my friends being like, well, that's entitled, weird, egocentric kind of statement. You know? Yeah. And I remember, no, it wasn't coming from that at all. It was just like, it was true. It was like, that's what I knew.
Yeah.
What's happening? And now I realize, again, why learning these modalities, why becoming a professional practitioner, why I started studying, you know, I began with, you know, my interest in psychology and energy work, healing and nutrition and wellness, and even again, sports physiology. So I was called in all these different directions of understanding how our soul embodied experiences, quite literally experiences the fullness of our potential to really bring the divine in its vision. That's what it was all about. I was an actor for a long time. It was always about the same thing. Like, how can I connect to the human experience of really knowing in my heart the truth of what is real? And right. The only thing real, right, is this moment right now and my capacity to be present and in love with this world. And so, you know, specifically Akashic Records and past life regression and even arts work, all of that called me, and intuitive life coaching, they're also very specifically using intuition as an actual modality, right, and technology, and reclaiming it as, oh, I've always done it, but now I know the actual science behind how our intuition, I can use my brain to actually understand and integrate these insights that are coming through my soul. The reason I was called to that, I realize now, is because I feel and I know from my past life journeys that I had very important role to play, I feel like, in the evolution of consciousness, in the sense that I was very much a witch in one life, and in another I was in positions of power as a woman, where I actually betrayed, in a way, betrayed my womanhood and chose power over you know, my embodied feminine experience, which is why I right now I'm so just committed, and not even committed, devoted to working in the realm of sacred intimacy and using all my modalities to bring it back to this tantric work that I now realize all of that actually is, like, parts of work, past life regression, it all is. And so the reason I say that is because tantra is a pathless path. It's not a modality. Right. And so when I said I am everything and everything is just happening through me, that's what tantra is. And so I knew that as a young child, and I've been reclaiming the right to then integrate this awareness into the work I do as a guide and, you know, as a space holder,
exactly,
as a teacher, and my own healing being part of it. Why did I come here? Well, I came to clearly unblock and unwall and open up certain channels that I had to close off in past lives, witch wound, right? All of these things that I, and so choosing these specific modalities was all about my fascination, right? Literally my just passion. It was like, I was aware of how obsessed I was when I first discovered the body of work available to me, because the esoteric, the mystical, right? The sort of the hidden, the, you know, all the hermetic principles, again, shamanic work, right? The tantric teachings that were passed on, word of Kabbalah, like all of these mystical, I feel like, truths that you had to earn the right to know, right? You had to actually earn your right to step into the temple to then understand it. You had to understand that you could only really integrate these teachings from a place of not just awareness, but a real, like, body knowing of what is true. So, like, the Bible, all of these texts, like, it's not literal. It is metaphoric. Can you understand, interpret archetypes, back to archetypal, you know, analyst metaphor? Can you understand the divine message within so that it can liberate you instead of closing you into a deeper box of, this is God, I am separate, right? So
And I feel like, and all of that, I thank you for sharing that. And something that you said really resonated with me, which was, it sounds like when you were from a very young age, maybe from birth, you were feeling just this natural understanding or pull towards these, just way of looking at life, looking at others in the world and yourself. And then as we get older, we come to maybe realize, Oh, okay. Yeah, this I have this maybe within me naturally, or I'm feeling called to this. And there is maybe now something currently out there in our society culture where they've taken that and like turned it into a type of training or study. And that's where I can resonate with that, where I look back at how I was from a very young age and things that just kind of I understood or that I felt connected to, that even with like IFS work, I didn't know about IFS till, you know, 8 years into my career as a therapist. But when it found me, I was like, oh, this is the thing I've been waiting for, because it was something that was already there within me. And then this gave it kind of like the language and the community and a way to kind of go about really feeling that deeper understanding of what I already was feeling connected to within. And so that really, as you were saying that about your experience, how you feel like you were already like connecting with some of these things, and then later on in life, finding some of these specific trainings and whatnot, then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. It just helps kind of to solidify it or like put it together. But like you said, not to put you in a box, which I feel like that's something that can happen though, is I think in our culture, it's like, oh, okay, well now you're a therapist or now you're a life coach. And then that comes with like certain expectations and, oh, okay, well, in order to fit into that, now you have to do this and, you know, oh, but you can't go over here, you know? So yeah, to hear you say that, like, you're connecting with these things, but in order to feel more of a freedom, that's refreshing.
Exactly. So it's structured freedom, even more freedom.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
More freedom.
More freedom to be you, really.
Right.
Like you said,
telling
you, yes, your dream, your desire is in you for a reason. It's for you.
Right.
But you have to understand how to honor it and actually allow for it to come through in the unique way that it's planted within you.
Yes.
Right? So in your case, oh, it found you, right? That right training will find you, the right book will find you, the right teacher will find you when you are really ready. Right?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm doing the work. I'm here to do the work. And the work is I am the work.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. So yeah, you brought up witch wounds, and I would love to, yeah, to kind of shift our conversation into that now. And to start off with, for those who are listening, who are like, what are they talking about? When we're saying witch wound, let's start with, what is a witch wound? What does that term mean?
Yeah. So what it means for me right now, and just, you know, to yourself and anyone who's listening, just feel into what's true for you. Just even the words, right? Just feel into the words, the witch wound. Right? What does that feel like in your body? That's where we start. Like, what is the feeling? Like in me, it's this excitement and coldness, right? It's like something not so good happened, but also it was amazing at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's that awareness that there is, in my experience, a life or many lives. And we can talk about, it's interesting because we talk about past lives, right? And we say, oh, the feminine or the masculine wound, right? And the witch wound. And sometimes when we say, you know, us as women, especially, right? We feel this in our bodies. We carry these centuries of oppression, and we're going to come to the witch wound. It's one of those, yes, oppressive experiences for the feminine, right? And so, and I don't know if my soul had been in a female body during the witch hunts. I do not know. It could have been in a body of a man who was actually burning the witches.
Yeah.
You know, so I could do, again, a lot of work in trying to understand that. I could do past life regression, Akashic records, and I will get glimpses, and it will still not tell me the full picture. It will tell me what I need to know.
Yeah.
But I know in this moment is that my soul has lived in many bodies. I know in my experience in my body, I know it is true to say that I had very much been in a feminine body as a witch. And also I know that I had been in a feminine body as someone who betrayed her gifts. I also know that I'd been in a masculine body as the oppressor, as the persecutor, maybe not during the time that we think of the witch hunts. Doesn't
Sure.
matter. Holocaust is a witch hunt, right? Like, wait,
that's right.
So I'm that there's a part of me that lived in that time. So there is that. Then there is our inherited experience, right? So my mother's witch wound, I inherited through her womb and took into my body, right?
Yeah.
Her mother, her great grandmother. So the lineage, there is the lineage, the ancestral wound, right? Then there is the karmic, right? That my soul took on. And then there is the generational. And then there is the actual cultural, right? Like conscious experience of humanity that I'm carrying. The more we say, the more the light, the bigger the shadow, right? The more conscious I am, like you said, I was aware, like I said, and you said, we reaffirmed aware. So my consciousness was very expanded for a young child.
Yeah.
Also means that I was able to tap into the shadows a lot deeper, right? So I have access to consciousness and also to that which limits it, right? So I have a lot more than you might think. So there's a response work, right? It's like, wow, right? Like, so my oppressor is even stronger, right? Than
that's some, right.
Because my liberated witch is so strong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, speaking to the witch wound specifically, what's true in my body and what I believe it to be is the awareness in this life for you that there is a part of you that is immensely, immensely powerful and loving. And you do not know how to actually marry the two, the power in love, because at one point in your lifetime as a soul, you were punished for it. So you do not know how to be with power in love, not know how to embody the power of your love, because you had been punished, persecuted, shamed, rejected, and most also blamed for having even accessed a little bit of it. Right. So you were basically made into the darkness by using your light. That's what I feel the witch wound is really about. It's my light is the reason I and other people may have suffered.
That's
so I allow myself in this lifetime to make myself available for that kind of capacity, right? To slide through, because it will hurt myself and other people. Again, I will misuse my power. I'll be punished for it. I will die for it. And so I feel like in our experience now, the reason we're talking about it, this is new. We didn't talk about witch wounds 100 years ago, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe there are records of people, you know, doing this.
Yeah.
Conversation, right? Let's talk about the witch wound. No. Why are we talking now? Because our consciousness is expanded enough for us to actually be able to then access these memories, these lives, this awareness. We don't have to know why. We just know it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't, right? So just knowing that it's here, it's in your body. If you resonate with this, it's here for you. It's here for a reason, whether it's on behalf of you and your lineage, you and your souls, all of the above, right? You're here to transmute that wound so that you could, in this lifetime, do something you had not had the capacity to do in the past. And also you were chosen and you chose to do it now and here. So all of that is like you're building collateral, right? It's like a relationship that didn't work. It's like, no, I'm building collateral for my capacity to love from this quote unquote failed partnership, so that the next partnership I'm available to, I know how to love myself and another better. So this is what witch wound is offering us. It's I'm bleeding and I'm here to actually look at the wound that I had not had the capacity to tend to for whatever reason. It is mine because I need to work through it. It's not mine as in I don't have to create some kind of story as to why. No, it's just here. So if it's here, it came to me for a reason. And if it came to me for a reason, I chose it and it chose me. We're here for what? Love, freedom, trust, grace. We are here to expand our human potential. Well, this is one part of how you do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and what you were saying, you know, a little bit ago about our light was punished, shamed, killed, you know, maybe killed for that light. And so therefore, and again, you look at this in terms of like from an IFS perspective, where you look at like protector parts and wounded parts. If, you know, we have been shamed for just being who we are authentically in our, what we call like self energy of, so let's say in the sense of like witch wounds in particular, maybe in the past hundreds and hundreds of years ago, someone had a deep connection to the earth and herbs, medicines, you know, just healing ways of being with other people. And at the time of like the burning times, you know, that was then labeled as dangerous, witchery, you know, all of that kind of stuff. That is such, well, I mean, they were being killed and tortured and all of that, but it's such a burden to take on of, oh my gosh, so who I am just naturally is bad, is dangerous. And that light that you were saying of the just these natural gifts of what I have are not safe to show. And so therefore these, what we would call an IFS, like these protector parts, then get assigned like these roles, these energies within our system of protecting us from ever experiencing that shame, that hurt, that pain ever again. And that's where I'm so fascinated with the science now that's out there about like epigenetics. And they have proof now, like showing just even through a family line, how these traumas and these burdens are passed down. And the person who's in the present may have no conscious awareness of what happened within their family line, but they are feeling the impacts of it in the present. And to speak to the other thing you were just talking about of, you know, if you are feeling something within you as you're listening to this and you're hearing us talk about witch wounds, that is, I agree, like this kind of this way of your consciousness and your system is opening yourself up to, okay, maybe it's safe to turn towards this. And yeah, it might not be yours, but it's impacting you. It's impacting you. And that's something to where for me, I'll share this, you know, I had never heard of witch wounds up until a client mentioned it to me one day in session. And I was like, what is that? And what's so interesting is when they explained it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, I had already had a session with a healer that I'm connected with where she led me into it was a theta healing session, and there was no like agenda. We were like, let's just see what comes forward. And what came forward in that session was these images that I was having in my mind's eye of this woman that was trapped in like a cage. It looked like a cage, because I was connecting with this feeling of, and I think I even said the word before I even saw that image. I was like, I'm trapped. I'm trapped. And as we kept going with that, what I discovered was I truly believe I was connecting with a past life that my soul had experienced, where it was sometime long ago, she had these just interests in, again, like plants and herbs and just being in nature. And she had this beautiful little cottage in the woods, and she had this little daughter that she loved so much. And the people put her in a cage. And it's under my understanding that I think she died in that. And it was just this sense, the way it was impacting me in the present and what I came to understand. And we can go into like what else I did in terms of helping her. But the message that I received was, well, I guess the way it was impacting me first was I was wanting to start like this podcast, and I kept hesitating, and it was this fear of being seen and being heard. And that was a direct connection with this woman. And that was just fascinating to me, because I had, you know, like I said, it wasn't a discussion or anything in terms of, it just was there. When I turned inside and I was with a guide that I felt safe with and was able to be there for me in a way that was, you know, helping me in that sense. I mean, it was just there, and that's what was coming forward. And so then when my client mentioned this term witch wound, I was like, oh my gosh, that is one of my witch wounds. Is connected to this woman.
Yeah.
And how it was, again, impacting me in the present of, I had now these protector parts that were like, it's not safe. It's not safe for you to share yourself in this realm of, let's say, podcasting, and it wasn't making sense to me. But then when I felt that connection, it started to make sense.
Yeah. I feel that what you're saying is, you know, it's resonating deeply in terms of just helping people understand that, you know, the inner work, the understanding of yourself. It's not about validating, you know, your mind, right? But it is about using your mind to actually help you relax into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could be with the truth, right? What is true? Like, yeah, the story that this part of yours, right, believed was true is no longer true.
Right.
But trauma, and what is trauma, right? Trauma is the experience that we are literally embodying. It's not the story. It's what we felt and couldn't actually experience in that moment because it's the same. So your system held on to that experience. And whether it is from one lifetime, two lifetimes, whatever it was, right? It is in your body now so that you could use your brilliant mind, right? And all of these modalities that are coming to you to, like, literally just open your heart into what is true. This isn't true. That's what's true. But it's also in my body, which is also true. And it's the reason that I feel so stuck, right? Quote unquote, I'm not stuck, right? But this part of me is.
Yeah.
There's so much freedom. And no, it's not me, but it is a part of me. And I can really honor, right? Not only healing means coming into wholeness, right? That's what it means. For me, but really understand how to welcome this part of mine back into wholeness. Because only I can. The story doesn't have to be true now, but the experience of this part is very true to this part right now. And its part is part of me.
And it can go so far back, right? And again, we're not able to think our way to the answer. It's like what you just said. It's like a matter of getting into a space where you and your system feels comfortable enough to do this, you know, to be able to relax, and maybe the, you know, using the help of a guide, being able to then be able to access that which is in there.
Yeah.
But we're not able to think our way to it.
No, you can't. You can, and that's why I feel like that's one of the reasons that we get, you know, we get so quote unquote stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to understand ourselves from the part of us that actually has a very limited capacity to understand anything, because it's literally running on past experiences in this lifetime, our conscious reptilian brain, which is fine when we're supposed to survive, right? But if we are in the moment of awareness that, oh, there is deeper work I can finally do, it is safe for me to actually do this work I came into this lifetime to do, that's where it helps to understand, oh, and this is where I go this way and you stay, right? Like, you stay where you are, like your conscious mind can stay where it is, but you, yourself, right? Your wholeness gets to go somewhere that that conscious part of you just can't go.
That's right.
But you have to lead yourself there from a different place entirely, which is something that I feel, again, a good therapist, a good coach, that's what they do, to lead yourself to that place.
That's right.
Right. And they direct you, they give you the guidance, the whatever needs to be offered in that moment. Oh, you need a flashlight. Oh, you need a little push. Oh, you need to sit down and relax. We don't know how. Let me put a cushion out. Let me give you some food. Right. Like, it's literally what we do. Oh, you don't know where to go. Let me clean out this window here so you can look through it. I'm not changing what you see. I'm just helping you see clearly. Right.
Yeah. And that was that beautiful moment for me of being with that healer was, yeah, she was able to help kind of open that up for me. And then there it was. And it was like, okay. And then I was able to share whatever it was I was seeing in my mind's eye or feeling or noticing with no fear of judgment, you know, from her. And yeah, she was able to help me just kind of just like be with that and connect with that and, you know, be with that past life individual in a way that she really needed, which was really beautiful. So there was this, in my experience, this release of her no longer being trapped in that cage, and this image and this sense of her being able to be back in the woods near her home with her daughter, you know, feeling the sunshine coming through the trees and her just kind of grazing her hand, you know, over the tops of the plants. And it was just a beautiful experience. And again, that's where I then kind of, I guess, like this message was downloaded within me of like, I am worthy to be seen and I am worthy to be heard.
Yeah.
And that was, oh, that was so healing for me. And, you know, one thing I think I had heard you, I think, mention in the other podcast was talking about, I think, like imposter syndrome, right? And how that can be an impact that I think some people can be experiencing in the present that could be connected to a witch wound of if there are parts within you that have this fear of succeeding, of putting yourself out there, yeah, being seen, being heard. And these parts maybe are questioning like, well, I don't know. I don't know if you're good enough for that. Or who do you think you are to be able to be doing something like that? I think especially as a woman, that's something to pay attention to.
Yes, it is. And this is where I feel it's so important to honor, again, the reason archetypes are helpful and, you know, polarity work, like the masculine and the feminine. The understanding parts of you, right? Again, using your brain to understand so you can go deeper, you can relax and trust yourself to go deeper into the unconscious, right? Where this just potential lies. And looking at what isn't true first is really helpful so that you could go into what's true, right? Mm-hmm. Every there is the light underneath, but just see the shadow at first. Okay, there is a part of me that's afraid to be seen, you know? And when you said, you know, this fear of being seen and heard, I was like, yes, you can be heard and not be hurt, mm-hmm. right? And that, I heard that when you were speaking, you know, it's like, yes. And your capacity to say, not just, you know, I am worthy of being heard, but I must be heard.
Mm.
Like, I must be heard. So it becomes then not just about you, right? But it's about reclaiming that voice of the voiceless that you are chosen to reclaim, which is why you are experiencing what you're experiencing, this tug of war, right? There's a part of you that's just like, no, 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 no. And then there's a part of you, no, no, but yeah. Like, this is what you're here for. And why am I experiencing nobody else's experience? Because you are doing it on behalf of so many people that can't, right? And so you claiming your voice, being heard, right? Actually, again, exposing your heart, be willing, right? Be willing that, yeah, I'll be quote unquote, my heart will be hurt. Your heart can't be hurt, right? But it will be broken so that you can expand your capacity to shine your light.
Mm.
Like, now you must show up and be willing to be seen for that.
Right?
And in that experience, that's where your nervous system, and you might experience that with your clients and yourself, that's where your nervous system actually gets the training it needs in this life to feel safe in the unknown, right? Why are we so afraid? Because we don't know, right? Be safe in the experience of the unknown where my heart's broken, I'm being heard, but let's say nobody's listening, right? And, or I'm being criticized, like my worst nightmares are coming true. And somehow in that, I feel even more powerful, right? I can feel my nervous system relaxing because this is not going to kill me. And that's what we need. We actually need the experience of our worst fear sometimes, right? Coming to life so that we know, no, what you're most afraid of is you're afraid of dying, right? Like that's what you're,
yeah.
Like I'm afraid that I'm going to be killed for this. And then you're like, wait, no, nobody's going to kill me for this. It's not fun to be, let's say, rejected or judged, but actually it kind of makes me motivated to keep showing up. Often that's what happens. He's like, oh, huh, well, these are not the right people, right? Or I'm not being clear enough, or I'm not actually allowing myself to shine my light as much as I know I can, which is why I think the feedback of, oh, that's not good enough. Well, guess what it might mean? Not that you're not good enough, but that you're actually not letting yourself be fully seen, right? Because we're like, oh, I'm being seen. Yeah, are you? Or is that the 3% that's safe, right? And it's like, oh, but that's the gift, right? So just knowing that it's safe to be seen, and your work here isn't to get somewhere with it. It is to experience that, just knowing in your body that in this lifetime, it's not that you can, it's that you must.
Mm.
You must. It's not a I'd like to, it's I have to. That's where it becomes a almost like it's the liberating feeling of my witch wound or whatever it is that's holding me back. It's actually, it's almost like that is the portal, right, of me reclaiming all of the work that my soul had to do to bring me here, to offer me this experience, because it knows I can handle it. And it knows that here I will actually transmute it.
Mm. Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Like I don't get to say no.
And would you say, because I feel like I know the answer to this, but I want to hear your opinion of like when someone is in such a big conflict internally, right? So like you were saying, like a part, well, I can speak to what I was experiencing. There was, yeah, this part within me that was just feeling so called towards doing something like this and being out and available and inviting people to hear these amazing resources. And then there was, again, like these other parts, protectors that were like, no, 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 no. And so there was this like push and pull. And then that was leading to shut down, anxiety, you know, can lead to depression and just like all of these things. And I just feel like, yeah, when there is this conflict within us of what we're feeling naturally called towards, and then the protector parts within us that are like, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. That's not safe. I do feel like that is our responsibility to turn towards that. It doesn't, we're not saying, and I'm not saying you are not then supposed to push those protector parts away. In IFS, which is what I'm really drawn to, is just the compassionate turning towards nature of it, which is you must turn towards the parts of you that are expressing this fear so that you can really get to understand why do they have that fear? Because it's there for some sort of reason. And I feel like that's where then, like we've been talking about, when there can be that settling and that connection to our self energy and that calmness and other parts step back that then allow you to connect with these ones over here, then, yeah, like you were saying, we can have like this portal to maybe something what comes up is like what came up for me. All of a sudden now you're like witnessing things that were not your life in the present, but you're meant to witness them.
Yeah.
Because that's an important part of your healing journey. So whether it's, yeah, like past life connection, legacy burden within your own family, you know, witnessing and connection, stuff going that did happen like in your childhood, you know, or adolescence that was a part of your direct experience now, it's not going to get healed. It's not going to be addressed unless we're open.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I'm just nodding along and like, this is exactly the work, right? The work isn't trying to get over something.
Right.
The work is go so fully into it while not letting it, right, become part of your story now, but become part of your experience as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. As a whole, because in feeling, right, the part of you that is, let's just say, protecting you, or the firefighter that comes in is like, oh, let's eat some peanut butter instead of recording the podcast, right?
Right.
And it's binge eating something. What's going on? Right? It's all for you. It's all for you. It's all trying, it being all of you, is trying to help you in whatever capacity it knows how. And so your work, as in, again, and we're speaking specifically to people who are drawn to the inner work, not just because they want to heal, but because they really want to be the healing, right, for this world. That's where the stakes become higher. And also you become more liberated because you're like, it's not about me. It's also about me. And like, I have no choice. Like I said, why do I have no choice? It's not about me. I was called to come here. And also it is about me because I want to heal, right? So
exactly.
There's match, right? My biggest wound is my biggest source of inspiration. So to your, you know, to what you shared so beautifully is, yes, the work is absolutely that capacity to make it all of it, right? Every modality you'll use, doesn't matter what it is, it all comes back to the same thing. Can I be with the truth of my experience right now with radical compassion, acceptance, and the desire to love it? Might not feel like I can love it yet, but just the desire, the intention to love it. You don't have to like it, right? But love it. I love you. I love you. I love that you're trying to protect me. I love that you're so persistent. I love that you actually have a really good reason, and I might not have the capacity to understand it, but I love that right now I want to,
yeah,
right? And I love the fact that I'm given a chance to witness a part of me. And this, to me, Natalie, is the most important thing in, anyway, in my work, is my clients and myself, our capacity to first be with, like you said, become incredibly compassionate and curious about these parts of us, whether it's within the IFS framework, within the shamanic, it's all, you know, our parts will show us how to love ourselves better, so that we can love another. Because we cannot, right, have that compassion for anyone if we can't have it for ourselves. My capacity to love the part of me that's unlovable, it's my capacity to see someone else out there, right, with the biggest shadow that's most likely triggering me, because again, we know it's a part of me that I don't like, right? And I'm seeing it, we might believe it or not, but I do. I believe in my experience, whoever triggers me the most is like, that is something I really hate in myself. But yeah. Here's the thing, the part of me that hates that part of me also is a part of me, right? So can you just lean into what's closest and most fresh, love that, and then ask that to guide me to the next part of me that needs that love, and say, I accept all of you. All I want is the truth of your experience so that I could show you the truth of mine. And the truth of mine is, I am whole now. You are one system now. I will lead you better from now on if you let me show you that I can. But I need to show myself, right? That's so right. I'm here to love you so that I can love. And then when I'm in the world and I see everything that we're judging and scared of, you know, and that, of course, we can, yes, this is not right. Right. Again, when we work with archetypes, like this is Kali, right? Fierce love is like, no, this is wrong. No, that's love. But it's not about saying you should be destroyed and ashamed of yourself. It's about saying, this is a shadow. This is not true. Yes, you bet your ass. I'm not here for it. But I'm not here to destroy, right, what isn't true.
Right.
I'm here to show you what isn't true. As soon as you see it, it will be destroyed. Right. And then I'm here to also stand for what is. So within that, my compassion towards people that I might even want to hate, right? I want to say, like, no, they're wrong through and throughout. Like, there's nothing good. There's nothing right. And within that, I know, my soul knows, there is something within them that can be loved. They might not embody or transmit or learn how to actually live with that, but I can see it because I can feel every part of me to that extent of all of it is sacred. I don't have to like you, but I can love you. So that I feel is the work, is it's within, it ends within, because you are everything, right? Right. And so with that, you can say, I don't like it. I'm going to do something about this, but I'm going to do something about it from a place of love. That's it. Not fear. I'm not afraid of why do we not do the work? We're afraid. I don't want to see those parts. I don't want to reclaim them. I don't want to see the thing I don't like them. And I don't want to judge. But if I love the victim, what if I love all of these parts and know that they're doing their best and they're doing their work really well? My work, though, my work is to see all of that and know that none of that is me.
And that's where I think, again, it's so powerful when we're able to have the awareness that these are all, you know, present within us. And like you were saying, like bringing awareness to, what's the closest one to you first?
Yes,
and is that a part of you that like hates this other part within you, or that is really fearful of this other one within you? Then you got to connect with that one and have that compassion and love and curiosity towards that one.
Yeah.
And then that's just going to help lead you deeper, deeper and deeper. And one thing, you know, before we end, I wanted to mention that you also talked about give the gift of what you're made to give. Because if you're not letting it live, then you're misusing the gift. And I wrote that down when I heard you say that, because I do feel like we all have a gift to give. And again, if we're not living in alignment with that gift, you're going to have conflict within yourself. And that can manifest in various ways. Like I mentioned before, I feel like anxiety, depression, shutdown, all of these things. And you said, tell the truth of what you do. Otherwise, you're not living in your authentic truth or self. And again, I feel like that's where we can feel the impact of that internally. And that really resonated with me because, like I said, yeah, I feel like everyone has a gift to give. And I think there might be different gifts that we're feeling available to as different parts of our life. And yeah, if you're feeling called towards something, but then there's a conflict within, I guess I just want to encourage people that are listening to this to get curious about that. As we've been talking about for the past hour, just get curious about it and turn towards that with someone who you feel comfortable with, whether it's like we've been saying, a therapist, a guide, whomever, to just be able to turn towards that, because that will lead you to something deeper that has been placed there for some sort of reason. But like you were saying, maybe it's not it's not true anymore because it's not even maybe part of your story. Yeah, I really appreciated you saying those things because I do feel like it's a beautiful reminder for each and every one of us. We all have a gift, gifts to give. And if we're not showing those, then we're not living in our truth. And if there's fear behind, if we were to show them, then that's something to get curious towards.
Yes. And I mean, that's the concept that everybody ends up with. It's all about you loving yourself, right? Love myself enough to trust that whatever desire I have to show a part of me, to offer a part of me, right? To do something in the world, to be more than what I am now, right? To be the truth means being more of you, right? That's what it means. It means every single day, like your purpose, in my experience, your purpose, my purpose. If I asked you right now, like, what is the thing? Actually, that's what I feel most invited to asking, like, what do you feel is the gift that you're not giving right now? You know, and I would love for you to answer, but I'm going to complete the thought. Like, with that thing that you're not giving, that's what you're not giving to you, right? So you're not experiencing yourself. And therefore, of course, you doubt your power. Of course, you doubt your capacity to gift this world or that you matter or that your purpose is to do this thing that you feel called to, but you're not sure. So it is the experience of yourself really that you're looking for. That capacity to, and back to what we were talking about, the witch wound, everything is by design, I believe. So yes, that wound was within you so that you could finally look at it in this place with the consciousness you have now, with the gifts that you have in this lifetime, which are perfect for tending to it. And, you know, really seeing it as a portal to healing. Your wound is a portal to healing, not just yourself, but of course, yes, but also whatever part you're meant to heal in the world. So I see us as cells in an organism of a cosmic human, my cell fully active, right? At my capacity, right? My DNA really activated in that space of wholeness can therefore wake up all these other pieces of the organism that may be dormant, prevent those parts of the cosmic organism, right? The humanity from developing cancerous cells, right? Because then in harmony, the organism just evolves and expands instead of these gaps where now these other cells can think that they're on their own, right? And become cancerous. Yeah. So that's what it is, right? So you not owning your place sort of humbly, right, in the universe and saying, no, my cell is showing me this is what you're here to give. Your capacity to really work with that, embody it, trust it, transmit it, knowing that you're the only cell who can do this. So you're not better than that other cell. You are this. Can you be more this? And can you trust that your work here will activate all the other cells that might be asleep, because your role is to do that as well, while allowing for the cells that are alive to shine even brighter, right? So your light activate other people's light. Your light is activating mine. Mine is activating yours, right? You reached out to me to come on this podcast. We could have a whole conversation about how a part of you had to actually say, this will be in service to my light and the gifts I have to give. This is not a conflict of interest. This is not a competition. Oh, somebody will want to hire Sasha, or maybe they will do this. I mean, we could go there because we have the capacity, right, to create a story around my light versus your light. And the work that you and I are doing in the world is about, no, we are one light, but without working on my light and activating it in every space I can go into, your light will also be dimmed because I will not give you the space to shine even brighter with mine.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah. That's so beautiful the way you just worded that. And that's true. I mean, as you were describing that, I was just really resonating and like, yeah, that's exactly right. And
good, right? It's so true.
That's right. And so, yeah, if we can be available for our own light and then also seeing the light in others and inviting that lightness to shine, knowing that we're all connected, that we're all part of this same organism.
Yes. Yes. That's it. It's like, it's not about you, but it is. You know, you focus on your cell, but know that your cell activates every other cell.
Yeah.
So it's going to need you.
Yeah.
Right. So you get to choose. Yeah. Do I want this responsibility, which then allows for me to feel the power I have in this lifetime and know that it's safe to be in it, because it is. Even if I die for it, I still will live a life where it is safe to shine my light. Like, I know that's part of my story in this life. When and if I die for it, because of it, which we will, you know, end up dying physically, right, in this lifetime. I know that it was safe because in this moment, I know that my soul came here to shine this light. Mm-hmm. I have no, just at all, right, no reason. And I know you don't either. And whoever's listening to this, you might have a story. But in this moment, I know you don't have a reason to believe that in your lifetime, here and now, you should be afraid of your power, that mm-hmm. your power will somehow hurt you or people that you love. You know that you're listening to me, you're listening to Natalie, you are here, you're feeling the call to actually look at whatever wound you have because it is safe to heal. And mm-hmm. because the healing you experience will be the healing, the medicine that this world is actually trying desperately to evoke from you through all of the things you're experiencing. So you can trust yourself to be that medicine. And it will be your greatest fear. And I will say that. That's what I was like, what is it, the thing you're afraid of? My work is, you know, right now, sacred intimacy and sexuality. Why? Because for the longest time, I was dissociated from sexuality in terms of it being a divine channel to, in my experience, the God, really. Yeah. And I had spent a lot of time not understanding that until I did. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's the wound. What? Right. Yeah. One of many. But mm-hmm. that. Like, oh, wow, I have permission to really own the fact that this is my work to do for a reason.
Right.
And I can do it. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Sasha, for just sharing that.
I do have a question for you I did really want to know, like, what do you feel right now is, like, for you, the thing that you're, I don't want to say afraid of, right? But you feel any kind of resistance to offering, creating.
Yeah, there is one. And it's sharing my experiences in regards to anxiety and IFS, and specifically in regards to writing a book about it. And this is something that I'm currently in the process of doing. I am currently writing a book, and yet I still am encountering parts within me that are hesitating and have some fears. And, you know, I've been really fortunate to be surrounding myself with a number of some really great people who are there as guides and supports and healers as I'm engaging in this process. But yeah, that's the one that when you ask that question, that's what's coming forward for me, is this hesitation of speaking my truth in regards to, like I said, in my experiences with anxiety, healing, incorporating IFS and couple other healing, you know, techniques, and speaking that and putting that into a book specifically. So yeah, that's what came forward for me.
May I ask, what about it is most scary?
What I've connected with is this fear of putting it out there and being told that it's wrong, even though it's my experience.
Yeah.
But this fear of putting it down and being criticized, shamed, you know, told, like I said, that, oh, well, this isn't correct.
Yeah.
That's the fear.
Thank you. I feel like someone needed to hear, myself included. I definitely need to hear that. And I feel like someone really needed to hear that. And something came through as soon as you said, you know, there are parts of me that are resisting. They are anxious, actually, really, right? Those are the anxious right. parts. And I felt this, if I may share with you, like something came through, this vision of, I saw these parts of you, and feel like there's like at least three or four, and they are writing the book with you. What if they had a book?
Oh, very cool.
Because that is allowing for them to actually be heard in the truth of their experience, and not spending their energy preventing you from writing the book, but actually writing it with you. And we think shamed for this, and this is all wrong.
Oh, wow.
I think that you're going to be burnt at the stake again. I think that you're going to be called a fraud by your profession. And your clients are going to think you're woo-woo crazy.
Yeah.
And you're anxious if you're a therapist. And this is what I think, right? And I think you're exposing me and I don't want to be seen in my anxiety.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because I'm already like I can feel my system and my parts being like, oh my gosh, yes. Can you do that for me? And I'm like, yeah, I can totally do that for you. And I feel that is such a gift. Thank you so much, Sasha, for just sharing that, because that vision that you just had, because that is something that I am going to be inviting now as I write this book, in whatever way that it makes sense in speaking for, or speaking even maybe as these parts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, and that is the experience of someone reading it, myself, and like, my parts are going to be reading your book, right? I am going to be reading it through many lenses. We always do. We just don't have the permission to acknowledge that or feel that it's a service. Like, no, 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 I'm not having these thoughts, right? I'm like, no, I am. And they're valid. They're just not my mind. They're not my hearts, but they are very much in my system. And I'm going to honor and include this part.
Yeah.
So that to me, just, I feel so grateful that you shared that, because thank you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I love that. Oh, I'm excited now. Now I feel this excitement where it's like, ooh, okay. Yeah. It's okay to write and share like these parts within me. And isn't that funny? You know, I'm writing a book about IFS and parts work, and it's like right now in this moment. Yeah. It's like my system needed that, almost like permission to be like, yeah, you can write, like you can share what these parts are feeling as you're in the midst of writing the book. Because another thing that a message that I received in another one of my healing sessions was, my authenticity invites connection.
Yeah.
Because that was another fear of being authentic, was that it would lead to disappointment from, you know, that I would disappoint someone else or feel shamed for that. But I'm really, yeah, inviting that message that my authenticity invites connection, and that is safe, and that is a gift.
Very much.
Thank you.
Your authenticity invited very harmonious connection with my self, which is why I'm here. So I'm really grateful that you're embodying what you just spoke about. And the result of it is our conversation, which we hope, right, will serve others. So it works. But you gotta do it. You can't just speak it. You're like, oh, and now I'm gonna connect. And you did. So thank you.
Thank you.
With all of this now. And oh my God, what a gift.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Oh my God.
So grateful.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for your book. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm excited. Truly. That's it. Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful.
And I know you asked where people could find me. You know, right now I only feel called to say my website is where everything lives. It's easiest to just my YouTube channel, Sasha Lipsky, and my website, sashalipskaya.com. My podcast is called Being Brave with Sasha Lipskaya. And all roads, you know, lead to the website. So just the easiest way. And you can see all the offerings. I work with people one-on-one. I'm actually creating a group program launching in the new year, specifically working with the sacred, the healthy, masculine and feminine parts of us, using archetypes, shadow work, embodiment.
Beautiful.
And also, whoever's listening, my invitation to you is go deeper into Natalie's work. Like, you're here, and I mean, I'm part of it, right? But just knowing that what I've experienced so far from you, I don't need to, you know, go on your website to know that you are one of the few that I know, right, therapists out there who are using probably one of the most advanced and wholesome modalities known to psychotherapy, I believe. If it was around, you know, when I first considered being a therapist, I would have become one, right? But it wasn't. So kudos to you for sticking it out and then letting it find you, because Dick Schwartz finally wrote the book. And so he finally wrote the book. Yeah. So your work, I feel like it will expand and deepen the IFS, you know, perspective and bring your magic into it. So whoever is listening to this, stay in Natalie's world, really see what she creates, because it will be absolutely just the next level of leadership and stewardship of the heart in this world. So I'm really excited to be in that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. And just again, so grateful that we've crossed paths, and I feel like we were meant to. And yeah, I was meant to connect with you at the time that I did.
Likewise, thank you so much for reaching out. And thank you for whoever is listening. We love you. Just know that the answers are in your heart, and any work you do is about coming back there.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating, and leave a review. You can also follow me on Instagram at Natalie Deering and sign up for my newsletter on my website, ndwellnessservices.com, to receive updates about podcast episodes, workshops, and more.